We do hope that your new year, 2023, has gotten off to a wonderful start. And what is going to be before us in this new year? Well, that would be an area of uncertainty, would it not? How many of us will not make it till the end of the year? Well, the Lord could return this year. We don't know. He will come as a thief in the night. The point would be to be prepared for death. Be prepared for the Lord's second coming. Now, since there's a lot of uncertainty as to what's going to happen in society, is it going to continue to go downhill? Or are we going to have a great revival and get things turned back to God? Well, the point is, let's take the opportunity this morning to be sure that we have real biblical faith. So let's ask ourselves this very vital, vitally important question. Is my faith, Bob Hawkins, real biblical faith? And hopefully you will do the same as we study together in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes, to PFE. And we all need to be doing what? Preparing for eternity. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit, with a proper attitude, and in truth, in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you that you will receive a warm welcome. We're very friendly folks. Now, something else to mention. We're always glad to have Bible studies. If you're interested in sitting down together and studying God's Word, please get in touch with us. And if you have Bible questions, they're appreciated. Your comments, positive or negative, yes, sir, they're appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're ready to get into our study as we ask ourselves, is my faith real biblical faith? Since God is real, our faith must be real as well. We know that God is real. The evidence is abundant. We've studied this before. Of course, there's design. Everywhere you look in the universe, as you look out with a telescope, as you look right around us, what do we see? Trees and flowers, the sky, yes, and the clouds, and all these things have purpose. We need sunshine, we need rain, and all the things for life. It's designed this way because God is our creator, thus he is the designer. We have cause and effect proving God exists. For every effect, there must be an adequate cause. A big bang didn't produce this universe with order and motion, orbiting, all those things we could go through. What about morality? It cannot come from immorality. It came from God giving his law. We have a sense of ought. We know who we are. We know others, and we can know God. Separates us from the animals, doesn't it? We have a soul that's eternal. We can reason, comprehend, all those things. What about the historical Christ? Yes, Jesus lived here on the earth in the flesh. and he died for our sins on Calvary's tree. And he is certainly real. The empty tomb, his body's not there. He was resurrected by God the Father on the first day of the week, and now is in heaven with all power, all authority. We could give many other evidences. The point is, God is real, and his word is real. The evidence is abundant. 40-plus inspired writers over a period of 1,600 years, having different backgrounds, walks of life, different occupations. They lived in separate times, yet what they wrote came together with perfect unity. The prophecy, over 300 prophecies of Christ alone. Yes, sir, that's real evidence. Scientific evidences, that facts that could not have been known unless God revealed it to the inspired writers. History and geography, there's lots of it in the Bible, and there is not the first mistake. None. And many other evidences could be listed, but the point is, God's word is real. And so, the point being, God being real, his Holy Word being real, God demands real biblical faith. Faith with action, not just a belief. Let's go now to Hebrews chapter 11, as we'll use this as our text. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Remember, Abel offered a sacrificial lamb. But Cain offered fruit from the ground, which was not what God commanded. Remember that? By which, now this is talking about Abel, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. He speaks loudly. We still know about Abel, do we not? Notice, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6. But without faith, now this is real biblical faith, of course. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, what? Diligently seek him. Is that me? Is that you? Let's ask ourselves. Again, since God is real and demands a real, active, biblical faith, is my faith a real, biblical, active faith? Well, let's ask this question. What types of faith are found in the Bible? And there are a number of them that we want to eliminate and not have this type of faith. Of course not. We don't want to have a blind leap in the dark faith. I've heard even some preachers use this term. It's a blind leap. No, it's not. That's not real biblical faith. Someone says, well, don't ask me why I believe in God. I just believe. In other words, they don't know what their belief is based on. They're not thinking about evidence and reason and logic. It's all feeling. Like in Isaiah 59:10, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon, and as at noonday, as in the night, we are in desolate places as dead men. We don't want to have that type of faith. Let's get away from that. Of course. Now, God tells us to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Now, number two, we're eliminating this type of faith as well, superstitious faith. Well, if I don't believe in God, something bad may happen to me. Well, it's like the people in Acts 17 there in Athens, Greece, where Paul was telling them, you know, they're too superstitious. They had erected an altar with an inscription that this is to the unknown God, in case they missed one. That's superstitious faith. As in Isaiah 47:13, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. What good are these folks going to be on the day of judgment? Yes, the astrologers. People look at the horoscope and read their sign, whatever their sign is, and how I should live in life. You think the burning stars are going to tell you how to live? Oh boy, is that foolishness. That was defeated years ago by the Word of God before Christ. These things are to deceive people. Of course, money is the object, is it not? So this is what takes people away from God. Deception. Now, here's another type of faith that we want to eliminate. Number three, faith without works. All I have to do is believe and I will be saved. Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, that's what a lot of false teachers and preachers say. But we better stay with the Word of God. James 2:19-20, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's what it is. Verse 24, everybody should know this verse. You see then how that by works, what type of works? Not works of merit, not works of the law of Moses, not certainly not works of the flesh, but righteous works. By works a man is justified, doing the will of God, in other words, and not by faith only. Did we get that? Not by faith only. So why do so many people believe faith only salvation? Because they're deceived. That's the short answer, is it not? Certainly the demons are not going to be saved. They have a belief. So we can rule that out. Number four, here's another one to eliminate. Little faith. Christ's disciples were with little faith during the ministry of Jesus. Now, of course, their faith did grow. We want to be quick to say that. Notice in Matthew 8:23-27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, he's God in the flesh. And they would understand that, of course, as they would go about preaching the gospel of Christ. Yes, their faith did grow. But we don't want to have this little faith, do we? Of course not. Okay, number five, another faith to eliminate. And that is wavering faith, because it's here in the Bible, and that's being unsure in one's faith. That is, being unstable. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Real faith, of course, as we're talking about real biblical faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We've all seen that. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Flip-flopping back and forth, that's being unstable, isn't it? We don't want to have a wavering faith. So we've eliminated these. Now let's get to real biblical faith that's active. And this is where one says, I do not just believe in God, I believe God, because you can see it in my actions. Like with Acts 27, 23 through 25, as Paul was on the ship journeying to Rome, and they were in a storm which was breaking up the ship. And notice, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. There it is. I believe God. Not saying I believe in God. I believe God. And it shall be even as it was told me. I am sure what God said to me through the angel of God, that it's going to be just exactly as it was said. So I'm not fearful anymore of this storm. All hope had been given up. Why then did Paul say, be of good cheer? Because he had knowledge of God's will and he obeyed God. He didn't jump ship. Some of them were wanting to lower the lifeboats down. No, that's not the way to do it. Everyone was saved by staying upon the ship. In that ship was salvation. That's another lesson, as we must be in the church and stay in the Lord's church until our death or the Lord comes again. So let's now ask this question. What are some other examples of real faith? Let's stay here in Hebrews chapter 11. We had our text from verses 1 through 6. Let's go to verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith. What kind of faith? Faith only? No, sir. We rule that out. As if faith without works? Of course not. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, action, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, action, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. True, real, biblical faith. How did Noah know that it would rain 40 days and 40 nights? Well, it's obvious. He believed God meant what he said. There it is. Abraham, here's another example. James 2, 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Works of righteousness, again. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God, there in verse 23. Well, how did Abraham know that God would raise up his son? Well, let's just go to Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. Excuse me. By faith, and again, this is real biblical faith, isn't it? Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, here it is, our answer, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So if Abraham killed his son as a sacrifice to God, he believed God would raise him up from the dead. That's how he was able to do what God said. He believed God. Notice he's called the friend of God. He believed God meant what he said. In Genesis 22, 10 through 12, you can see the account of what happened. Abraham was ready to run his son through, his only son by Sarah, Isaac, with the knife. That's right. He was able to do that. He rose up early in the morning and took Isaac. They had no sacrifice. Isaac was wondering, where was the sacrifice? Well, the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham because he knew that Abraham was obedient. And thus, the promise that God had given Abraham back in chapter 12, through his seed all nations should be blessed, would come about. And that promise was reiterated. There would be a great nation coming from Abraham. That certainly happened. The Israelite nation. But he believed God meant what he said, and so should we. That's right. These are examples of real biblical faith. What about the centurion? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. Excuse me. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. How did the centurion know that the Lord would heal his servant by speaking a word? He believed God meant what he said. What about us again? I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And this was a centurion, a Gentile. But he believed, not just in God, he believed God. And his servant was healed. Just say the word. Now, those today who have real faith, what's going to be the way to determine that? Well, by their actions. Their lives will show that they believe God, not just believing in God. They're going to really know God by knowing what is revealed in God's holy word. If we're not students of God's word, how are we going to know what God would have us to do? How we're to live in this life? It gives us the answers to all of life's most important questions. From where did I come? What is my origin? Well, it's from God, of course. I'm a created being. And why am I here? What is my purpose? It's to serve God and live faithfully in accordance to His will. As Solomon concluded, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And where am I going? That's an important question. Where will I spend eternity? Am I prepared for death? Am I prepared when the Lord returns to meet Him? Well, not if I don't have real biblical faith. You see, I need to have real biblical faith, and it's going to be seen how I live. Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." That's right. Real biblical faith. And so as we begin the program, is my faith real biblical faith, an active faith that is seen? And certainly this is the true faith of the Bible. That's why we're saying biblical. It comes from the Word of God, how we're to live. Now, Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's important. If I don't start there, I can't go any further. I have to hear the truth. And the next step is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I study the Bible to learn the Old Testament. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. In the New Testament, He came. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, died on the cross so that I could have my sins washed away as I obey the gospel, contacting His precious blood. You see, I need to know this. Not just a belief only. My belief in Jesus, John 8:24, is going to lead me to repent. I'm going to make a change of my thinking. I'm not going to think that I know the way and I can do it my own self and I can just follow what's trendy and all. No, sir. I've got to go the direction that God has set forth for me to go, to serve Him in accordance to His will. I'm going to change my way of thinking and repent of my sins, Luke 13:3-5. Now I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Notice Acts chapter 8. As Philip was preaching Jesus unto the Ethiopian eunuch, and when they came their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He made the good confession. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing, because he had had his sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Now that's an example in the Bible of what one must do to be saved. What about my conversion? Was it in accordance to the will of God? We stand ready to assist you, and we thank you so much for listening today.